Holy shit.
That was not the Pac-Man sound. This is Pure Decking number 218 for Thursday, May the 12th, 2016. I am Morps. I am currently drinking really crappy rum because I didn't make it to the liquor store today, which is unfortunate because it's like payday tomorrow. I should be able to do that. Happy National Masturbation Month to those of you so inclined. Just, if you're hot, send pics. Anyways, female.
Oh, I'm so dumping your inbox full of shit.
Oh, God. Cocks everywhere.
Yeah, hot and female. We should point this out. And I mean genetic female. I don't mean...
politically correct female.
Why not?
I identify as Scarlett Johansson.
God. So I've totally blown this intro. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Kentucky Ale.
Good man.
Daddy. I decided to help save the environment by drinking locally. It cuts down on carbon pollution.
I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that.
You're going from barrel to table.
Static, what are you drinking before you board your flight there?
Yeah, I'm a shot of Jim Beam and getting ready to have a side of rocket fuel behind me.
Nice. Excellent. Sard. What are you sarding?
I've got a shot top Honeycrisp apple wheat.
Not bad. Suave. What are you potatoing?
I'm drinking some Di Serrano right now.
Ooh, nice choice.
What is Di Serrano?
It's kind of... is like liquid marzipan.
Okay.
Are you pressed any fruit?
No, I'm still waiting for that batch to clear.
Are you? I know you're not drinking anything. What are you doing?
No, I don't even have anything slightly witty this week, so water. Hopefully not polluted water, but you never know.
If you imported it from Michigan, it's going to have extra heavy metals for your health.
Dear God.
I got my daily mercury content.
Oh, good. Good. So we don't have to worry about that then.
Oh, extra lead, dude. Extra lead. Everyone loves plumbing in their water.
So let's open up with the Kickstarter fail of the week. The Peachy Printer. So, Suave, I know you and Sard remember this one.
Dude, I've been watching updates on this printer this whole time, waiting for them to come out with something. No, I didn't. I was waiting for it to come out and people to like get it and test it and tell me that it works before I bought one.
Did anybody else back it?
Nope.
Okay, nope. I'm the only chump.
Well, you know, it's... way she goes, it's Kickstarter.
Yeah, I threw it. Well, this was early days of Kickstarter too, so that and all the hype. Because I remember looking at the printer, going, they may have something here, because their original thing that interested me was they were using the audio circuit, which at the time I was looking into audio stuff myself, and I'd seen vinyl timecode and saw the degree of precision control you can get through audio doing that. And I thought, there's potential here. Now, obviously, the project moved away and started using dedicated circuits. Whatever. But, I Kickstarted it. So I guess to anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, the Peachy Printer was a Kickstarter 3D printer that promised a $100 SLA 3D printer. The idea was it would use some... electronically controlled mirrors to direct a laser beam in the X and the Y. And they were originally going to use the audio circuit to do this. One channel would be the X, there would be the Y. and then they would use a dripping mechanism of salt water or salt brine to raise the layer of resin, of light curable resin, up to get your Z-axis, and they would record the drips through the microphone, which, you know, hey, that seemed like a viable way to do it. You get into other problems with computer audio, like noise and, you know, differences in sound chips and shit like that. It probably was a better call to switch off of that. But I always kind of thought the guy who founded it looked like a Canadian stoner. I mean, he, you know, he had the squinty eyes and kind of that way of talking. So
he may have had a touch of the downs.
I wasn't gonna say that, but I mean,
just throwing that out there.
So, anyways, the PG printer was an interesting idea for a $100 printer. They had a working prototype in the video. They looked like they were set up fairly well, and of course, this is the problem with Kickstarter. There's no vetting. You just basically have what they're presenting, right?
Yeah.
And this week they announced that basically they were broke, that nobody's going to get their printers, and that you know, the guy who helped the, what's his name, Ryan Gosling? He was the guy who actually started Peachy. The guy who helped him set up the business side of things basically embezzled like 2/3 of the Kickstarter money and built a house.
50%, they say. They raised like $650,000. He took like $330,000 or something like
that. Oh, I heard there was like $500,000 and he took the
building fees.
Yeah.
All the money's gone now anyways.
Well, and people have been digging into it because he posted all this evidence, and then like earlier today he posted more about the funding from other sources like Indiegogo and BackerKit, and they disclosed that they had gotten a grant from the Canadian government, and that's what they were paying wages out of. And, you know, so somebody did the math on one of the subreddits, I think, and came up with this company had gotten like $1 million of seed money, basically.
Okay, yeah.
And so this guy embezzled, you know, $300,000, you know, out of $1 million is still a lot of money. But, you know, kind of my complaint with Peachy, because I've been following them forever because, you know, I backed it, so I've been getting the updates, right? Was that, you know, they never quite hit that generation one. They kept reworking the printer and trying to, they were trying to get away from that Kickstarter first version and trying to make a finished commercial product. And they should have shipped what they had earlier, and then, who'd we lose? We lose Madman?
Yep.
Yeah, he'd be back. And then great.
Well, he didn't give a shit about 3D printers anyways. For everyone who's playing the drinking game, I hope you have 911 on speed dial. That's all we're talking about.
I think I'm going to drown my kidneys.
That's the spirits.
So, I don't know. So, Suave, you've been following this. Have you looked at any of this evidence? Because, I mean, it's amazingly slick, this website and videos.
Oh, yeah, they've got, like, pie charts and fucking, like, all kinds of stupid shit. They're showing all these different costs and everything. But really, like, I haven't really read too much of it. I just kind of skimmed over it because it all just reeks of bullshit to me.
We's a professional Kickstarter.
So,
yeah, and you know, like, it may just be incompetence, like, you know what they say, never attribute to malice what you can attribute to incompetence. So, you know, maybe the guy didn't know that his buddy
ran off with a large chunk of money and built a house. Yeah, this is obviously somebody who never bothered to look at the books, right? So,
well, you know, like, I one thing I do know is that when the whole thing started, like, when they got the money, their payout from Kickstarter, they didn't have a business account set up yet, so they put it in the personal account of the guy who built the house.
Right.
And, like, that's, you know, like, this is a huge amount of money, and you just, like, throw it in somebody's like, why don't you have an account set up? It's not difficult. I've done it. It takes like a couple minutes to, well, you go to register your business name and you go to the bank.
You say, I'm starting a business, I need to set up a corporate account. They say, yes sir, And, you know, presumably there's a minimum deposit.
You gotta register a business name first, but really, before you even think about starting a Kickstarter, you would think that you would have registered a business name. Like, that's one of the first steps that you would take, because you need to, operate under that name legally, so you need to get that name legally registered. That's just how it works.
They find out back in 2014 that this guy's embezzled all this money, which the Kickstarter was in 2013, so hello. But so they figure this out, and they record a video confession with the guy. Which, Suave, have you watched any of the videos? I watched the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
I haven't watched either one.
Apparently, he brings in people who backed the printer and tells them what's up on camera, which I don't know what the hell that accomplishes.
Yeah.
I guess he's trying to be real, real open and honest, but the whole thing looks like a media campaign. Obviously his business partner built the house. And apparently had planned on putting the money back in after reverse mortgaging the house and reasons?
That's always going to work.
Yeah, I don't understand the plan.
Sounds like a solid plan.
But,
what's that cartoon character? Give me enough money for a hamburger today and I'll surely pay you back Tuesday.
Oh, Wimpy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, apparently after they discovered the embezzlement, he set up some kind of a payment plan, was paying back a chunk of it, and then just stopped, which means he probably talked to a lawyer, and her lawyer like, they fucked up, that money was yours.
Yeah, pretty much.
They got no claim to it.
So, now they were contacting the police about this. It's like, what? No, he stole like a third of your money. You go to the cops now.
Yeah.
So you at least have the option of I don't know, having the court sell his house and give you the money he stole to reimburse you? I guess lawsuits can get expensive too, so I don't know.
I'm thinking it's sort of going to go like this, Morse. That man took my money. Did you take his money? No, he gave it to me to put in my bank account. Did you have any contract on what to do with that money? No. So he just gave you $300,000.
His clause.
Yeah,
well, I mean, he was supposed to be partner in the business, so they could just say, "Well, he set his own salary." So, I mean,
is there anything? Yeah, is there anything on paper? Because if he's this trusting with the money, I don't think there's any paperwork or anything to go with it.
Oh yeah, it's either a case of they were all both working together to scam everybody, but if that was the case, I don't think they'd actually have the working prototype and everything. They would have just had slick graphics or something. So, probably one of them did have a good idea and did build a cool printer that they figured they could actually manufacture for cheap, but had absolutely no business sense in any way whatsoever and just trusted his friend to take care of it all, and his friend screwed him over.
Yep.
All the money's gone.
Yeah, all the money's gone. I there's no doubt about that. Stack and I were talking about this earlier. He said, well, are you going to try to pursue and get your money back in any way? It's like, well, what can you do? You look at Kickstarter policies, not to mention 3 years ago, right? So, I mean...
Oh, Kickstarter isn't... I thought you... It didn't pay out until they delivered or whatever.
What? No. Okay, so the way Kickstarter works is you set a campaign time, 30 days. And you have a goal that you're trying to reach, a funding goal. And if you don't reach the goal, if they don't raise X amount of money, they don't get paid. Nobody, it doesn't pull from a credit card. But if they reach it, they take the money out of your account. They pay the person you kickstarted at the end of the 30 days or whatever. And at that point, from a legal standpoint, Kickstarter's done. The backer rewards are technically considered gifts. If you go look at, and Kickstarter's actually updated their policy a couple of times because of this. Kickstarter will tell you they are not a store. If you kickstart a project, you are making a gift as an investor and as an angel investor, really, to this Kickstarter project. And if they've promised you a reward, it's a promise, it's a gift, but you didn't actually buy anything. You gave them money.
Yeah,
with the hopes that they would return the gift. If you go look
at Yeah, see, I've never actually done a Kickstarter, obviously, and I always thought you had that protection of, like, well, okay, they didn't deliver, you get your money back.
No.
This sounds like a fucking scam.
You can
contact... And there's a lot of Kickstarter scams, yes. So like, you have to be careful.
I have read about people contacting, like, their credit card and doing a chargeback. But yeah. Then, like, if you do that, then, like, you're not going to be able to go back to Kickstarter again.
Well, not only that. Go ahead.
I just think it was a $100 donation to a guy having a really bad life. Like, he was having a really good life. You were like, well, I could get something out of you really good. You know, I'm just going to watch you have a train wreck. This is worth my $100 for the entertainment.
Well, it's kind of been a train wreck because their updates have all been heavily produced. I mean, something's always seemed off about it after the Kickstarter. The initial Kickstarter looked good. I got bit. So
how have you guys actually had a Kickstarter that's paid off?
Yes,
and actually delivered.
But nothing. But the Peachy Printer is the most I've ever put on a Kickstarter before. I've done $20-$30 here. No, that's not true. Oh, that's not true. No, I put $120 in a Kickstarter before the Peachy, and that's where I got the 3D Doodler, the original 3D printing pen.
Huh.
Okay. So, yeah, I Kickstarted that, and I actually got it. I Kickstarted a couple of games and got those.
Dungeon Dice was a very good Kickstarter game.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we had that before Origins. And there were people bitching that they didn't have theirs before Origins, but that's because it was lost in the mail, basically. So I'd had good experiences with Kickstarters before that, and the Peachy one looked good. I mean, obviously, you look at it, and once you understand what it is, it's like, yeah, you really got to see if people are on the up and up with this or not. Do they have a prototype? Do they have a company? Do they have something going on? And, of course, everything presented from the Peachy Kickstarter, yeah, they had a working prototype. It looked like crap, but they had
one. I was convinced that they were going to be coming out with... up until they came out with the video saying that they weren't. Like, I just figured, like, you know, I figured, oh, yeah, well, you know, they could delays, you know, some looking for more money or, you know, ran into some sort of issue. But, you know, they're honest guys. They're doing their job. No.
Yeah, so once they get paid out, you have to trust that they're actually going to deliver.
Correct, because the idea is that you're supposedly funding a project, whether it's a startup company or an existing company, because there are plenty of existing companies that have thrown up Kickstarters to fund new products to see if there's interest, kind of thing. Like several movies and shit like that were done that way. So I'm not blaming Kickstarter here. I don't think Kickstarter did their job because, you know, and they've been making it more clear ever since that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, check the Kickstarters out. Make sure these are real. And, you know, Peachy looked
really
like...
To...
Go ahead.
Kickstarter really need to crack down on what you can put out there to Kickstart. That's
yeah, there's
I'm
some
saying.
Really stupid ones.
Yeah, like, there are people up there
you
know,
with
Kickstart like genital reassignment surgery and shit like that.
Oh, Kickstart everything.
That
just let your common sense determine whether or not you're going to give anyone money.
Yeah.
True.
So... But anyway, so they've put up this slick website here, Theft of Kickstarter Raised Funds. Of course, if you do the math, they've raised over $1 million and they only had 300,000 some odd stolen, which is not an insignificant amount of money, but it seems like they could have shipped a product.
How much were salaries? Because salaries are being paid out of that Kickstarter, too.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at
it. It was on one of their charts. Hold on, let me have a look.
You have to look at, they're paying an engineer to try to build this. They do have a marketing team that they're trying to sell this stuff with. So these are people that are also getting paid out of that Kickstarter fund. It's not a lump sum that just sits there until everything's built.
Right.
So while Swab's looking that up, here's what I think actually happened. I think Buddy had an idea for a printer, right? And he put it up and it exploded on Kickstarter. Because it was like, you know, I bet we could build this cheap if we get, you know, get it up to speed and get the dev work done. And in one of the videos I was watching, they were talking about how he basically lived at the hackerspace and had a shitty car and you know, all this other stuff, and that's probably true. But that's because this wasn't somebody who valued buying the sports car or buying the big house, right? He basically was doing the Kickstarter scam, except what he wanted to do was run the hackerspace, build, you know, these devices, build robots, and, you know, he got to get, what, 3 years out of this crowdfunding stuff of basically getting to dick around in the garage inventing, you know, trying to invent these printers. Am I making sense that, you know, that was what he wanted to do with the money, like instead of buying the sports car, the boat, and just fucking off?
Yeah, it's once again one of those cases where engineers probably shouldn't be running companies. That's why they're engineers.
Because mm-hmm. they kept reinventing the printer as opposed to finally just making a version.
And so there's no CEO there to give them direction and say, okay, guys, enough's enough. I know you want to do that, but save that shit for V2. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we could cram it in. They just keep going, and it's constantly like,
here's the deadline evolving. For shipment. We've got to ship this shit.
Yeah, it's like we've got to get a product out the door, guys. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get annoyed when somebody comes up and puts an arbitrary deadline on my work, too. But you need something, and as long as it's a reasonable deadline,
so, you know, it's like
you got to ship sometime.
I'm just looking at their breakdown of costs here. So looking at it in all 2013, 2014... wages, contractors. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Wages, contractors, and expense reimbursements, $398,000. Almost $400,000 in 2013-20.
So that's what they spent on people.
But, you know, like, they have, they've spent like $40,000 on tools, $40,000 on supplies. So, you know, the guy's built himself a pretty nice shop, I'm sure. You know, they've got, and that, you know, that's just according to what they've quoted us. But,
I wonder who's...
Kickstarters, even if it fails, like, they've got, like, all this equipment and stuff now.
Yeah, that's what purchased. I was just going to say. So I wonder got, who like, gets that equipment.
They get a free business.
Yeah.
So, I think... that's what actually happened, that him running this dev shop, and I'm sure the people he hired were the same way, and his CFO, as opposed to going, wait a minute, we've got to run this as a business, guys, like the MakerBot guys did, right? They had all these engineers, and then they had a handful of guys who were like, no, it's got to be a business. We've got to run it correctly. And that's why MakerBot did well enough to eventually get bought by Stratasys and turned into a shell company. Oh, wait. Sorry. That point aside, I think that's what happened. I think he built himself a rad hacker space. He was having fun thinking that, oh, we'll ship eventually when we get it good enough. And of course, it'll never be good enough because he's an engineer, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Just like, you know, I do the same thing. Shit, nothing's ever good enough. So... you know, you want to reinvent and constantly rework it. I mean, what's the running gag of how many broadcast boxes we've been through?
For the station. Let me just check the tally sheet. The tally sheet is 67.
Wow, and that's pretty good. I thought it was more than that. So
the 37th incarnation of different programs that we've run on the boxes, and 9 different broadcasters.
Only 9? That number seems low.
Only 9. No, we've only done 9 different programs.
So Galaxy 15 has set up the we've actually set up some business managers in the form of RU and Static, who basically beat me up about the head when I get a little too crazy with the G15 shit. So, you know, that's why we at least get something done once in a while.
This is also a hobby rather than a business.
True. And we didn't Kickstarter it for $1 million. God, wouldn't that be nice?
We should.
Internet radio. I want to kickstart this now.
I want to fuck around in my garage for 3 years.
I don't think we'll be any better. We'll just divvy up the salute at the end of it and keep doing crappy shows.
The Divvy Up the Loot Kickstarter.
Yeah. It's like, let's go on the Kickstarter quest again, guys. The loot off of that quest was fucking awesome.
You just have to take that end boss.
Yeah.
Wow.
First, we're in
the end boss is the internet pitching out.
No, the end boss would be figuring out which country we can incorporate in to avoid most of the problems, and it'd be helpful to have somebody living there.
I know a great place in Panama where we can get financial advice.
Yeah, I haven't been following the papers lately. Are you? You got anything fun on that front?
It's a bit like WikiLeaks dumps, man. There's so much to get your head around. But you name it, the businessman, you know, anybody you think is corrupt is in there. And it's way too much. Madman, you've been looking at any of it? It's too much. Just way too much dumped at once.
I haven't really cared, honestly. Because I already believe government is corrupt. And the businesses, depending on what they were doing, they may have been being asses, but most of what they were doing was actually legal.
Yeah.
But the only thing that pisses me off is when communists are doing it, because they're espousing we should take everyone's money and make everyone equal, but now you're hiding shit in Panama. When Bill Gates does it, at least he's not being morally disingenuous and probably doing it legal. And kind of disclaimer, I don't know if Bill Gates actually did it. He's just a rich guy, so I want to piss on him. I'm not rich. I can piss
on
rich guy.
He's done plenty enough to deserve.
I'm financially challenged. I need a Kickstarter.
Ooh, transfinancial. I'm a poor man. I'm a rich man living in a poor man's body.
There you go.
Yeah.
Need to do that.
So, let's get into the news stories here. Just a heads up, there's not going to be any Digital Dojo because I couldn't decide on what I wanted to do in Digital Dojo tonight. And being as we spent 25 minutes griping about failed Kickstarters and business plans, and when you see the Galaxy 15 Radio Kickstarter, we're going to advise this is not the first episode you listen to.
Yeah, just on the note of the Galaxy 15 Kickstarter, give big and give off. Thank you very much.
So I'm going to cover this story mainly because I have a list of it's like 20 subreddits I check for news stories among a few other sites I check regularly for decking. And at the top of half of them was this article.
The Zionist media-controlled Vice News.
It's on motherboard.vice.com. I don't actually give a shit, because it doesn't surprise me at all. But because it's being
really
covered
old.
Everywhere, it's like, let's go ahead and talk about it. This is from motherboard.vice.com. This is not a Google Street View car. It's a government spy truck. You know, because rather than walking around with the CIA logo of the guy peeking over the stall with a little caption we like to watch on the side of the truck, and apparently there's been an update to the article since I looked at it earlier today. The Philadelphia police has admitted that they own the truck and are currently launching an inquiry why it was disguised as a Google vehicle. It's like, yeah, we're working on that.
Because it's a great fucking disguise, that's why? You'll have drug dealers doing peace signs so they're on Google Maps.
A SUV truck tucked away in the shadows of the Philadelphia Convention Center's tunnel bears the ubiquitous logo for Google Maps, and mounted atop the vehicle are two high-powered license plate reader cameras. To the average passerby, it might appear to be a Google Street View car. Others, such as Matt Blaze, that's not his name. But Matt Blaze, that's your name? That's like a porn name.
Matt 420 Blaze is his real name.
Or a morning zoo radio DJ. Matt Blaze, a University of Pennsylvania computer and information science professor, saw it for what it truly was, a crudely disguised tool for surveillance. Blaze tweeted a photo of the vehicle with the appropriate opening. What the fuck? Blaze's baffled pronouncement is appropriate. Why would a government agency need to disguise a surveillance vehicle like this? And which agency believes it needs to do so? So they've got some grainy picture from placard showing the vehicles owned by the city of Philadelphia. It's so echoed, and it's such a shitty picture, it's useless. Placard on the dashboard indicates that the SUV is registered in Philadelphia Office of Fleet Management, which maintains city government's 6,316 vehicles. I would think for a city the size of Philadelphia, they'd have more. Is that just me?
That might just be the one agency.
Yeah, okay. Christopher Cordy, who serves the city's fleet magical and whose signature is on the document, says the vehicle does not belong to the Pennsylvania State Police. Of course, the update nullifies that. So, basically, it goes on to that, yeah, we don't know. And so, apparently, Philadelphia disguised a truck with license plate readers as a Google Maps car. And I think that's brilliant. Because nobody's going to question the Google Street View car going around.
This story is so old, man.
Just own it and move on. Like, yeah. Guess how many speeders we caught?
It's not the fact that it does license plate reading, Madman. It can look in through walls and has high-tech hearing audio devices on it as to be able to hear into people's homes.
Because, you know, you really want to hear kids screaming and people taking, you know, horrendous shits. Can you imagine that being that your job, listening to the high density microphone? Oh, God, shouldn't have had that pastrami. I mean, you know, come on.
It makes my digital music file look good.
Or hearing the dog, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, so you pull up and the dog, they can hear half the electronics just losing its mind. I mean... That would suck to be the dog, wouldn't it? It's like sitting there hearing all that shit. It's like, and dogs can hear pretty far into the spectrum, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, or you know, I imagine so much of what you would hear with those microphone trucks would be either so mundane or so much just shit you didn't want to hear. And what do you do when the air conditioner kicks on? That compressor can be loud to a directional mic.
I filter some of it out.
Hopefully, yeah, you could probably knock those frequencies out. What'd you say? Are you? I didn't hear you.
I think they'd be using it surveilled targets. You know what I mean?
Oh, so they're sitting there outside right now, listening to me make you know stupid jokes about bomb threats.
Yeah,
lovely. They got the warrant. It's all good.
All right. Well, do you guys listening right now? You know, if you knock on the door friendly, I'll explain we're doing an internet radio show for fun. If you try bursting in here, I will return fire. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, that's not going to work out well for you either way.
No, that's
true.
You're
going to have a really bad day.
I do have the paperwork that I have a permit. It's okay.
The permit say you can shoot cops because that's fucked up. And
no,
awesome.
But I can get a label maker real quick.
It's got the official county seal on it, motherfucker.
Right, wow. There, it says license to kill. Sir, that's written in Sharpie. I don't care. The clerk did it at the desk. Prove me wrong.
Joe, it was done after that seal was put there, sir.
Which clerk was it? What's his name? Dave?
It was a lady. Her name was Francine. Now... We don't have anybody by that name that works at the courthouse. Damn, I should have picked a more common name.
It was Kanishwa.
Oh, God. It's like, oh, damn it, her again?
It was Shanane.
Shanane. It was Shanane. She apparently said something about her brother didn't do. Oh, God, I need to stop. I need to stop. I'm going to get myself in so much shit. Casual racism for the win, right? No, that dead silence tells me I should not have made that joke. Okay, next up.
You were talking about her at the wrong department. Nene is not going to be helping with a concealed carry or a firearms permit. She works at the fucking food stamp office. Get it straight.
Well, to be fair, I was trying to get out of jury duty recently. That's why the white hood and robe is on my Amazon history. I just want to point this out. No. What, I figured if you be pretending to be racist gets telemarketers off the phone very, very quickly. So, I just want to point this out.
Being racist gets them off even faster?
Oh, yeah. No, shit, dude. You get, like, one of those fake Microsoft scammers. Like, you know, throw on a little bit of a southern drawl and just, you know, really let them have it.
Are you one of them Indians? Is you an Indian with a dot on your head or a feather on your head?
I'm not even going to make the joke because I don't want to record it.
Because this is going to be cut and pasted somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, if I make the joke, if I make the joke about a sand greaser, that's going to... let's move on to the next story here. British, this is from The Intercept. I hate using stories from The Intercept, but that's where it was. British hacker wins court battle over encryption keys. Pretty sure he's not a... Wow, that's shitty rum, but I'm drunk. Anyways, where was I? Are we still making racist
British
jokes?
British hacker.
Are we making racist jokes?
Limeys. I guess we can go with limeys. That's a
okay,
British
limeys.
Slur, isn't it?
In a limey court on Tuesday rejected... Oh, no, this is a good thing. Never mind. A British court on Tuesday rejected an attempt by security agents to force... Yes, I'm laughing at myself, and I don't care. On Tuesday, rejecting an attempt by security agents to force a hacker to hand over his encryption keys. 31-year-old Lori Love has been accused by U.S. authorities of hacking into U.S. government networks between 2012 and 2013, including those of the Department of Defense, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Energy, and NASA. Was this the guy looking for aliens? There was a guy who hacked into NASA who was looking for aliens a couple years ago. I wonder if this was him. On October... 2013, UK's equivalent of the FBI, the National Crime Agency, raided Love's home and seized his computers and hard drives, but some of the devices contained encrypted data, meaning the agency could not access it. Initially, the British authorities served Love with an order under Section 49 of UK's controversial... And there goes Madman. In October 2013, the UK's equivalent of the FBI, National Crime Agency... I've already read that. Initially, the British agency served Love with an order under Section 49 of the UK's controversial regulation of Investigatory Powers Act. Wait a minute. If they're able to order people to give up their passwords, how is that a regulation of investigatory powers? That seems like an expansion?
Yep. I guess
makes
it's still a regulation.
Yeah. Which demanded that he hand over his passwords to open encrypted files stored on the devices. He declined to comply. That is such a British phrasing. He declined to comply.
Suck my dick!
That's how... Yeah? I love that phrase. He declined to comply. And the National Crime Agency did not push the issue. I'm sorry, who said that?
Oh, I was going to say, this is from the country where, on the floor of Parliament, you can say, the honorable gentleman may suck my balls.
If you don't put the honorable gentleman in front, then you're in contempt of Parliament.
Yes, but you can say, the honorable gentleman may suck my balls, and they have 3 bars in Parliament. I love that country.
Love was not charged with an offense under any British laws. Though because he didn't attack anything under Britain's law requiring you turn over your passwords doesn't apply. However, when Love recently launched a civil case seeking the return of his computers and storage devices, the agency renewed its encryption demand and attempted to turn the civil proceedings around on him by using them as a new means to get a judge to order Love to disclose his passwords and encryption keys. Investigators refused to return Love's computers and hard drives on the basis that they claimed the devices could contain data that he did not have legitimate ownership of. For instance, hacked files. Wow. That's a hell of a leap, isn't it? The authorities say that if Love wanted to get his devices back, he would first have to turn over his passwords and show what was contained on them. I'm not going to read the rest of the article. It's kind of details and, you know, blah, 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 and... But basically, the judge said no. The judge said you have to give him his shit back because you didn't charge him with anything.
That's good.
Yeah, if it's his stuff, you've got to assume his ownership unless you have cause to do otherwise. If you don't operate that way, then the cops can come and charge me for stealing my own car.
So the judge hasn't said anything about him getting his stuff back, but the judge has said that he does not have to turn over his encryption keys. So he said it's a victory. But yeah, I just let's see. I've got an article here from Threat Post about apparently there's been a motion asking the FBI to disclose how they hacked Tor. Does anybody care?
How they hacked Tor,
yeah.
Okay.
They hacked Tor.
Yeah.
Story, we'll do the story. I'm feeling this room is shit, but apparently it gets me drunk quick, which is interesting. So, if I start slurring my words, let me know. Mozilla, on Wednesday, filed a motion with the U.S. District Court of Tacoma, Washington. Good God, why? Why Tacoma? Asking the government to disclose a vulnerability it exploited in the Tor browser and Firefox. The FBI used a zero-day hack of a child pornography website and de-anonymize users visiting the site using the Tor browser. Mozilla's motion asking that the government disclose the vulnerability at least 14 days before it fulfills a previous motion granted to the defendant Jay Meacham, requiring the FBI to hand over details on the exploit to the defense team under a protective order. So, the kitty diddler is trying to use a technicality to get out of the fact that he was looking at kitty porn. Am I reading that right?
And it doesn't even matter. It's almost a non-story because even if they do have to tell him, they only have to tell the defense team in secret, and then they won't be able to tell anyone else, I'm sure.
Court-ordered disclosures of vulnerabilities should follow the best practice of advanced disclosure that is standard within the security research community, wrote Mozilla Chief Legal Business Officer Danelle Dixon-Thayer. That's a name. Why does he have three names? Danelle Dixon-Thayer.
He's planning on shooting someone.
Oh, okay. In this instance, the judge should require the government to disclose the vulnerability that the affected technology companies to the affected technology companies first, so it can be patched quickly. The Tor browser is partially built on open-source Firefox code, but also includes proxy code that encrypts and anonymizes users' sessions so that they move about the internet, or as they move about the internet. Mozilla argued that the FBI has previously exploited the Tor browser, and that it did so in this case, despite a refusal from the government to acknowledge that it targeted Tor or Firefox code. Now that said, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I've played with the Tor browser before. The version of Firefox that Tor browser is built on is always way out of date. They're always using an old version of the damn thing. I think It has to do with release cycles and the fact that the Tor guys probably can't keep up with how Firefox releases codes due to the lack of resources. But, I mean, I'm not the only one who's played with Tor on this channel, right?
Yeah.
No, I've messed with Onion.
Cool. So somebody else backed me up on this Firefox thing. I mean, they're always using a fucking old version of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
No. Yeah,
and like you said, it's probably because they changed to that rolling release or whatever. I mean, there's a new version of Firefox out every day, it seems like.
So couldn't you just grab a vulnerability that you already know about that they patched in the latest version and go attack the Tor browser with it?
One reason they might want to know what the vulnerability is, so they know if it's one that they need to patch or if it's one that's already been patched.
Well, that's the thing, right? If it's already been patched in the newest version, why wouldn't you just tell them?
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it's quite possibly a exploit that still exists in the newest version, and I don't know why they would need to use an exploit for that browser to get into something.
Absent great care, the security of millions of individuals using Firefox's internet browser could be put at risk by a premature disclosure of this vulnerability, Mozilla said in its motion. This risk could impact other products as well. Firefox is released under an open source license. This means that Firefox source code is continuously developed and is publicly available for developers to view, share, modify, and reuse to make other products like the Tor browser. Bakund, a 62-year-old teacher. Oh, dude, the teacher was looking at kitty porn. I realize this is trial by media because, you know, the guy hasn't had a trial and proven innocent yet. but
you do know that the odds of being sexually molested by a teacher are like hundreds of times greater than that of a Catholic priest. Know what the Catholics do about child molesting.
Dude. You know, I don't want to talk about the rest of this shit. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know how happy I was when I got excused from jury duty when it was a child abuse case? I don't want anything to do with that shit. Oh, I have guns and poor impulse control. I mean, come on.
We can leave the rest of it out on the story because it's pretty much Mozilla wants to know what the exploit is, and they want to know before it's general knowledge is from what I'm gathering from that story.
Okay, fair enough.
And I can understand why they would want it to know it before it's general knowledge, because if it's an exploit that still exists, they want to be able to warn people that are using Mozilla to build other products and to try to patch it themselves before there's an exploit out for the world to use that they don't have any control over. Which I guess you don't have any control over any exploit.
No, if there's an exploit to your code and it's public, if you haven't patched it, you're fucked. Because you have, especially something like Mozilla, because it's in a lot of stuff. Thunderbird uses Mozilla code to render HTML. A lot of stuff uses Thunderbird, or not Thunderbird, Mozilla code to render HTML. More stuff is now using WebKit than the Mozilla code, but it's established open source stuff. So if you've got a product that's no longer being updated, something like the Tor browser, because I think they've quit releasing that thing, haven't they? Sorry, do you follow this shit? Have they quit updating the Tor browser? I thought they were telling everybody to use the new stuff now instead of the Tor bundle.
That one I don't know.
Because what was that I played with? Hunix? No, not Hunix. There was a Linux distro I played with that basically is a Tor browser. It was included as part of Cubes. Worked very well. I liked it. Because what it did was it set up this virtualized network environment. I think, damn it, Tor. I'm going to Google this real quick. Because I can't remember. I want to get the name right. Dedicated Tor router Hack 5 forms. I don't want to look at the Hack 5 forms. Why are all these links shit? Come on, Google. Onion Pie for the NSA in prison with a Tor proxy on a Raspberry. Yeah, fucking right. Okay, I don't remember.
Tune in next week when Mort stumbles around using Google.
Shut up.
Next week. I am super hacker.
Oh, shut up. Seriously. I don't want to hear it.
He's drunk. Let's get him to register some more domain names that he won't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's how Galaxy 15 started. So, anyways, in all seriousness, keep your shit up to date. And if you're going to run Tor, be careful. Do things properly. And if you look at kitty porn, I'm going to shoot you in the kneecaps with a 45 and take your head off with a shovel. I mean, that's just really what it is.
Yeah.
And this is a man that could be on your jury. Called up more often than anyone else I know.
That's true. I've been on jury duty like a lot compared to most people. I talk to somebody who's like, "Oh yeah, no, I've never done jury duty. Really, I've been called up for 3 times."
Well, you know what they say, Morphs, it's better to be on the jury than in front of the jury.
I would rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6. I just want to say that. Next article. Iron Angel quit from the chat room. Well, good luck, Iron Angel. I hope you have a nice life. Next article is from
Computer World. Now he's insulting the fans. This is going to get better.
Next article is from Computer World. A surge in ransomware through third-party email providers such as Gmail and Yahoo resulted in the House of Representatives IT department blocking Yahoo Mail and apps hosted on Google's AppSpot. It could just be the fact that a lot of people use Yahoo and Gmail and they don't want to hear from people bitching about policy.
No.
Ransomware attacks on the House of Representatives have increased so much through third-party email providers that Yahoo Mail has been blocked until further notice. okay, if you want to make sure they get your email, you can go register a domain on like Namecheap and then get on like, I don't know, DigitalOcean or Amazon and set up a mail server of your own, because they won't have that one blocked right away. Oh, no, Amazon won't work. DigitalOcean will. There's a lot of other hosting providers. Rackspace will probably be fine. But Amazon, they block a lot of those IPs because they rotate around so much. The House Technology Service Desk sent an email obtained by Gizmodo to the... Obtained by Gizmodo. Really? You mean it was a press release and obtained by Gizmodo? Yeah, sure it was. To the House of Representatives staff members, the email sent on April the 30th warned that the House Information Security Office has seen an increase of attacks on the House network using third-party web-based mail applications such as Yahoo Mail, Google, and etc. That's sad. Hotmail has been regulated to etc. The attacks are focused on putting ransomware on users' computers. While the notice does not specify which ransomware variant was used, there's like 60 of them, it does mention that the attacks focused on using .js files attached as zip files to emails that appear to come from known senders. The primary focus appears to be Yahoo Mail at this time. I've gotten a shit ton of these at work. What they're doing is they're spoofing email from normal business partners, which makes me think they've gotten into somebody's email somewhere along the line. They zip up a JavaScript file. And they name it like invoice document, and they'll send an email saying, "Here's an attached statement of your accounts, or we've got this purchase order from your company. Please check it and make sure it's accurate." Things that people are likely to click on without thinking, right? They're trying to match things that are odd enough to get you to open them without really thinking that this could be a scam. You know, it's why most of the text of these are questionable. They're saying things like, we got a money order from your company. Please check this document and make sure it's correct. And then it puts a fucking crypto locker on your machine. And then they're asking for $500 in Bitcoin to give you your password back. So, you know, back your shit up on a read-only device.
Yeah.
Don't give members of the House of Representatives access to the internet. They're just going to use it to watch porn anyway.
That's what they do.
So where was I? Spokesperson for the House, I think I've read this. The spokesperson for the House Chief Administrative Office would not tell TechnoCrunch, yes, it's TechCrunch, if any of the ransomware attacks succeeded in locking up any of the staffers' files. You want to bet it did?
No, but I like having what little money I've got.
But the unnamed congressional staff told Gizmodo that at least one ransomware attack was successful. Once the computer was affected, the House IT was able to remotely shut down the machine within 20 minutes.
Wow.
You know what?
That's
the staffer eventually had to
reformat
their computer.
The power button works faster than that.
Here's
exactly.
The thing. Staff House IT. This means that the House of Representatives has one IT department. You have competing political interests. You have competing political parties. You have Rand fucking Paul in there. And they have one IT department. Who was Hillary Clinton using?
Don't know. He disappeared 2 days ago.
Along with the people that were guarding him. They submitted their resignations.
And probably drove into a ditch, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about drove into a ditch. I think they're in Tahiti now.
Yeah, Cancun's popular this time of year.
Anywhere
possibly
where you're
living off
Clinton's
some donations,
right?
From the Clinton Foundation. They're doing charitable work. Don't worry, it's completely on the up and up. Habitat
yeah,
for Humanity
work
in a tropical island somewhere with Mai Tais.
Ransomware doesn't care if you're a church, library, hospital, or home user. One day before the House sent the email, the FBI warned about ransomware, which has been targeting a wide variety of victims ranging from hospitals, school districts, states and local governments, law enforcement agencies, as well as large and small businesses. Despite that, ransomware is becoming epidemic. Too many people are blissfully unaware of the threat. Okay, people. Take backups. Ransomware is like any other virus. Once it's on your machine, you format, you restore from backup, you go on with life. You lose a week of work, well, that sucks to be you. I mean, seriously. This shit is regular. It's not going away, especially because people are making money on it. And if, I mean, yeah, occasionally they post a decryptor for some of these ransomwares. Don't count on that. Go down to Best Buy, spend $100, steal your boss's credit card, I don't care. Go down, spend $100, get a hard drive, copy your shit on it. And when you're not using it, unplug it. And just like make a routine. Every other Friday, back up your shit. I mean, or, you know, get fancy. Set up a NAS, make a write once, read only forever after that directory. Or burn your shit on DVDs. Because guess what? DVDs can't get viruses when they're sitting in the fucking drawer. Physics says no. Of course, if it's a full computer, burying it in the backyard, encasing it in concrete, and hoping for the best is not actually the best solution.
Get airflow issues with that.
I scared Swalf away.
He's going to dig up his computer now.
Airflow issues.
Airflow issues.
The concrete really messes up that exhaust port that your fan blows hot shit out of, and then your laptop crashes after playing one round of Overwatch.
So wait. How did you encase your laptop in concrete and still play Overwatch?
Mind powers.
How do you
Some
see the
people
screen?
Use them for killing yaks at 100 yards. I use it to hit the WADS buttons and click a mouse.
All right, next up is from DSLReports.com. ISP is now forcing cord cutters to set up. Did I post the links everywhere? No, I missed the IRC chat room. My bad. There. ISP is now forcing cord cutters to set up for TV to avoid caps. Oregon ISP Bend Broadband has long been at the forefront of the rush to impose usage caps. And now that they're at the forefront of another trend in metered billing, removing caps if the user bundles phone and TV services. According to a blog post by the company, Bend is deploying a number of new speed upgrades, including a new Ultra 50, Ultra 100, and because it's faster if you put the word Ultra in front of it, right? And Ultra 300 megabits speed tiers. The company is telling users of it on its bronze and silver internet plans that they should be eligible for a free upgrade later this month. But another post adds a different wrinkle. Ben said it is removing its current usage caps if you bundle TV and phone service. These caps have historically ranged from 150 to 500 gigs. Damn, it must be nice to have a connection that can move 500 gigs a month. Customers who subscribe to our bond, James Bond, or above internet, including silver, gold, and platinum, and essentials, or above TV, including preferred plus, and the works, are no longer limited. Why does that sound like the shit you'd see at a brothel? The works. It's like, that's where we bring in three chicks, and, you know, one of them is not wearing, anyways, and are no longer limited on data cap usage and will no longer pay overage fees, says the company. Using usage caps to force customers to retain services appears to be the latest fashion in the industry, given caps aren't really necessary on fixed lines. It's another way caps can be used anti-competitively in the market. Facing dwindling TV subscribers, AT&T recently did something similar differently, offering to remove caps from its U-verse broadband if the users bundled DirecTV. The continued migration of Netflix usage from mail DVD to internet streaming download, as well as other data-intensive uses of the internet, are impacting all providers of high-speed internet usage, Bend claimed in an FAQ. While we currently acknowledge and appreciate that content-rich services like Netflix make our high-speed offering more valuable to the end user, the volume of data associated with this content derives significantly incremental investment in the network, and the need to purchase more bandwidth in order to maintain the user experience must be funded. Oh, wah, you actually have to maintain your network. Wah.
Hold up. Wah. If I'm streaming a show from Netflix, is it using any more bandwidth than if I'm watching, I don't know, USA? They're both coming over the same fucking
cable. Probably using less. USA, and it's all coming over the same pipe. It's all coming over the same piece of copper.
No, you know, but the pipes are full.
If you're watching cable TV service, there are fucking MPEG 2 streams that are being sent from whatever the hosting the cable company has set up. They're MPEG 2 streams. That's what they are. That's what digital TV is. So when you're talking about Netflix, which has actually made efforts to conserve bandwidth so they make it easier to move HD over these links, it's probably actually using less. I mean, there's arguments to the frequency on the cord and how many, you know, how much they have dedicated to data versus their television versus their phone offerings. But yeah, IP is probably more efficient for some of this shit. Really. Next up, anybody give a shit about hardcore fetish forum getting hacked, meaning personal details including .gov addresses are getting leaked?
Told you.
Surprising nobody.
That's juicy.
You know, juicy. Okay. Everybody looks at porn. It's porn. Whatever. Get over it.
But you shouldn't be looking at it at work. Beat off on your own time.
Oh, we got a guy at work. It's hilarious. I think he's being held hostage by the VP. he apparently was subscribed to some hardcore bondage site, and they found out because it got forwarded to like several people.
Oops.
Man, I shouldn't be talking about that. Doesn't matter. Pretty sure that's
tune
why
in
he's
next
still...
week when Morps needs to use food stamps.
What? This is why we use pseudonyms. An online hardcore fetish forum... I should forward this email to him. A hardline hardcore fetish forum has been the subject of a hack. You imagine? It's like, here, this article may interest you. An online hardcore fetish forum has been the subject of a hack, resulting in more than 100,000 users' details being leaked. The details include usernames, IP addresses, email addresses, and weekly encrypted passwords. The breach was discovered by the founder of I Have Been Pwned, Troy Hunt. The service... You named your company I Have Been Pwned.
He founded it when he was 12, dude. Come on.
The service was used to find out if you have been the subject of a data breach by entering your email address. He has been made aware of the leak by somebody who is involved in trading of such information by the person then providing him with a download link for the data. It was verified as accurate by using the password reset function of the affected website. Oh, fuck. That means that whatever this fetish form is, if you enter a bad account, it says bad account. If you enter a bad password, it says bad password. They're not supposed to do that. Because that means that I can scrape your website for all available accounts. I may not care that I can't log into them, but I now know what all your account names are, so I can spam them. Spam them. Excuse me.
And Morps died.
I did not.
I found your email address on a hardcore fetish site. Send me $50, or your wife and children get emails of this.
Wow, you're a low baller.
Yeah, 50.
I want everyone to pay me.
Well,
I believe getting rich in the McDonald's way. I'm going to give you crappy service and cheap food, but so many people are going to fall for it that I become a millionaire.
No, you just say $50 a month for the next 10 years, otherwise your family finds out about it.
Oh, and you have to eat the pink slime. You have to eat the pink slime McNuggets at least once a month. And send me photos proving you have gotten the pink slime McNuggets.
Tell my wife and kids I'm a dirty pervert. I'll give you the $50 a month but no one in that condition.
Well, right. My wife will already know I'm a sick fuck. I believe in keeping no secrets from your spouse. Now, she may be like, honey, I don't need to see that. I'll be like, but it's a really cool YouTube video. It's going to be banned any moment now.
All right. The last article is from Futurism.com. And I have no digital dojo tonight, so after this, we're basically going to close. Artificial intelligence lawyer Ross has been hired by its first official law firm. Ross, the world's first artificially intelligent attorney, has hired its first official law firm. Baker and Hollister have announced they will be employing Ross for its bankruptcy practice, currently comprised of 50 lawyers. Ross is apparently a very smart artificial co-worker. Law firm Baker and Hollister has announced they're employing IBM's AI Ross to handle their bankruptcy practice, which at the moment consists of nearly 50 lawyers. So what I'm hearing here is an AI has cost 50 people their jobs. We need to revolt. We need to become Luddites. Otherwise, you know, they're taking my jobs.
They're taking your jobs.
According to the CEO and founder, Andrew Arda? A-R-R-U-D-A. Other firms have also signed licenses with Ross, and they will be making announcements shortly. When was this posted? This was posted on the 11th. Okay. So shortly could still be in the next couple of days. Ross, the world's first artificially intelligent attorney, built on IBM's cognitive computer Watson. They turned Watson into a lawyer and named it Ross. Why would you name it after one of the friends? That's just creepy. Your engineers watch too much television. I want to point this out. It was designed to read and understand language, postulate hypotheses when asked questions, research, and then generate responses along with references and citations. I think they'll be better than my show notes.
Oh, so like, how long until lawyers are irrelevant?
You mentioned that'll do the government.
That happened about 200 years ago.
Yeah, I suppose.
We just don't really update things very well.
But really, you walk into a courtroom and, like, the computer fucking just, like, looks at the evidence, looks at everything. It's like, okay, this is what the law says. There you go. That's going
like
to be a terrifying future.
Abraham Lincoln didn't have a law degree. Neither did many of our great lawyers in this country. It's only recent that lawyers as a profession have required any special skills beyond the ability to read and reason.
Ross also learns from experience, gaining speed and knowledge the more you interact with it. You ask your questions in plain English as you would a colleague, and then Ross, which is in all caps for some reason, that's not creepy. And then Ross reads through the entire body of law and returns a cited answer and topical readings from legislation. Case law and secondary sources get you up to speed quickly, the website said. In addition, Ross monitors the law around the clock to notify you of new court decisions that can affect your case. Ross also minimizes the time it takes by narrowing down the results from 1,000 to only the most highly relevant answers and presents the answers in a more casual, understandable language. It also keeps up to date with the developments in the legal system, specifically those that may affect your case. Baker and Hollister Chief Information Officer Bob Craig explains the rationale behind this latest hire. They're calling it a hire. They bought this. It's a server. Bought a server. Come on. I don't care if it's an AI, you bought it. You didn't hire it. I hired Amazon to run my... No, it's called AWS. At Baker & Hollister, we believe that emerging technologies like cognitive computing and other forms of machine learning can help enhance the services that we deliver to clients. Baker & Hollister has been using Ross since the first day of its deployment, and we are proud to partner with a true leader in the industry as we continue to develop AI. It's a fucking computer telling you what the law is.
It's a really good search engine.
Coke dealers around the world are going to take a dive.
When are we getting something like this online? You know, like this is built on Watson. You know, like why don't they put Watson online? I want that level.
Because they
want
to sell a million individual copies of it, as opposed to giving it away for free.
Yeah, and Watson will become a right wing neo Nazi within about 8 minutes.
Hold up, wasn't Watson built with taxpayer dollars?
I thought it was probably built by IBM.
Yeah, it was.
It was built by IBM. But I thought
they a private college? I have to pull it up. Massachusetts.
IBM's not a college. It's a company.
Oh,
yeah, International Business IBM, Machines, I think.
They also built the county machines.
I thought it was built by a university.
They did have a corporate theme song that they used to make recruits sing.
Okay, well then, yeah, IBM should sell the shit out of that. For a moment, I thought it was MIT made it for some reason.
No,
I don't think so.
Your alphabet soup.
I
have like no filter right now. Shit.
I really don't like the direction that all this AI research is going, though. Like, you know, it's all being kept very restricted. You know, nobody's getting access except for who they want to have access.
It's who's willing to pay the bills to develop it.
Look forward to our dystopian future.
What I want is Ross on my phone, because I switched to Android recently, and I've been very happy about that. I want Ross on my phone. It's like, Ross, I'm thinking about robbing a bank. Sir, that would be illegal. Thank you, Ross. Now I know not to do that. That's what I want. I want to be able to explain to my phone what I'm getting ready to do and to be told if it's legal or not. What's going to happen is every response is going to be, sir, that would be illegal under this act.
And holy crap. Quotes,
I won't be able to do my job anymore. But
we need to make this app. You know, just make it like this whole fake artificial intelligence and make it say, like,
all
you know,
it is
you tell it what you're going to do, and every single time its response is that would be immoral or that would be illegal. It
it's
doesn't matter
fucking
what you tell it, that's always going to be its response.
It's a magic 8-ball app, dude.
But
it's
you
like
could totally build it as, like, this
end,
wonderful
like
AI that's got this, like, amazing judgment on what is kosher and, you know, what isn't and all this other sort of crap.
But I want to know is why she's soldering a mainboard. I mean, she's like got the soldering iron plugged into a random spot next to a capacitor, and she's holding it by the hot end, which just
I know.
That's a real picture.
What's worse? What's worse? That is a Radio Shack soldering iron.
Those things suck. I know I had one.
I've had several. They're called fire starters for a reason. The $10 fire starter soldering iron is exactly what it says it is. I've literally got nothing and drank way too much of that rum, but it's gone now, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. I've vanquished the rum.
I actually have something to talk about with Digital Dojo if you want. It's something I found today.
Hang
if
on,
you're there.
I have
okay.
no Digital Dojo, but you'll need to send me the link so I can put it in the show notes, and I will play you the theme song, because everybody needs the theme song. That plays faster than usual. It seems like something's wrong with that.
No, you're just drunk.
Okay, so are you.
Oh, great, he's getting belligerent now. This will end up well.
Yeah. Now, so I don't know. You've probably talked about it on the show before, but I just rediscovered it today because I probably forgot. But vulnhub.com. It's,
well, since the other vulnerability database shut down, we need something.
Yeah. No. Well, this is a database of virtual machines that people have set up that are intentionally vulnerable, and it's like a shit ton of VMs that are just CTF machines. You download the VM, you...
Droopy version 0.2. Welcome to Droopy. This is a beginner's boot to root CTF VM. The VM is set up to grab the HTTP and loose. Well, you fucked. You're going to take my address? Really?
Well, DHCP lease. You just do it on a virtual machine, like an internal network or an adapter, so it's not talking on your actual network or whatever. It's just
continue reading
network.
About this Droopy VM. There are two hints. Grab a copy of the Rock You Word List. Really? Really? Yep. You're going to fucking give me that right off the bat? It's fun to read other people's email. Okay. Yeah. You're telling me the password is in the Rock You list. Fuck off.
One of them is. I actually did that one earlier today. I did that one in Skydog, and I think that was it. I couldn't get any of the other ones working. They're really neat, actually. You load them up, start off with some Nmap scans, see what services are out there, and go from there. And a lot of them, if you click on them, they have, you know, okay, the goal on this one is to get root.
I like this one, Frisky Leaks 1.3. The icon says, keep calm and drink first. Yes.
Yep. That one I actually am currently working on. And I was thinking, like, it's super fun to do. And I really wish that we could, I don't know, we got to figure out some way. I'd like to do it with, like, the whole G15 crew, especially you, Morps. Like, load up a VM, you know, somehow stream what the VM's doing, what I'm doing, and then try and hack into these things together. It's a lot of fun.
Gold, get root, tester, DQIB, Bobrass, difficulty basic, a small BM made from a Dutch informal hacker meetup called Frisky Leaks, meant to be broken into a few hours without requiring debugger. Yep. Oh, that's good. You don't have to actually debug some custom EXE.
No, I haven't been downloading those. There are some of them on there where you actually have to reverse engineer binaries and stuff like
that.
Dude,
you know what a pain in the ass that is? Well, the ones where they set up some random... And they're never real. It's always really obvious with those. They're always like, oh, yeah, and here's the part where it's doing a stir copy in a memory so you can do the buffer overflow of 123 bytes and get codecs. I mean, that's so rare these days.
Hmm.
Most people don't write their shit in C. They're writing in Java.
Good point. But these have been fun. Like that Frisky Leaks one, like said, I loaded it up, did Nmap scan. It's got port 80 open only on it. So, of course, curl the website, look at the HTTP headers and the code. And it's
what's
fun.
Really
you kind of go from there.
What's really fun is finding a website where they've actually developed multiple internal applications. And they assume that you're not going to look at the URL because when you go from one to the other, it pumps you to a new one, and it's all in the fucking URL. So all you got to do is change the numbers in the URL or the user in the URL, and you know it doesn't do any verification.
Yep. That's the kind of stuff that you'll run into here.
And it's all fucking Java code. We should just ban Java.
Anyways, I found that today, and I've been playing around with some of the VMs, and they're really cool.
Cool. We'll throw that in for Digital Dojo. I'm glad somebody had Digital Dojo because I couldn't be bothered. This week has sucked. Between work and jury duty, I mean, fuck. You know those people don't give a shit how much time of yours they waste. Like you wait all day into the. I'm literally like 3 o'clock in the afternoon to find out you're not selected for jury duty. I have never seen a more more inefficient process.
They've probably figured, well, you're getting paid to be here anyways, we'll do whatever the fuck we want.
But you're not, you're only paid if you're selected.
Oh, really? Something I thought they had to pay you regardless.
I hope they do. That'd be fantastic, get a check in the mail, figuring out I wasn't going to get it, because the government
they're taking you away from work.
I don't care. It's the government. Screw you. So, I got nothing. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Galaxy15radio.com. I don't think the feedback form has worked in like 2 months. I'm going to light things on fire this weekend. Bob, what are you doing this weekend?
Sounds like fun.
Darn, what are you doing? What are you lighting on fire this weekend?
I'm going to light some gunpowder on fire this weekend.
Nice choice. Madman, what are you shooting this weekend?
Well, if we're shooting, I'm going to be shooting a Taurus Ultralight 38, which I found, if I
treat it as a single-action
revolver...
That's called a murder weapon. What's the target?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody's going to piss me off at the National Park. Just some random check or...
Dick. Are you? We know you don't agree with guns. What are you chopping up with a machete this weekend?
I have no idea.
Remember, if you want it to, if you yell Allah Akbar before you chop them up, if they stop you, it's cultural oppression, and they're committing a hate crime.
I'm murdering a tree next week.
Landscaping?
Yep.
I want to see landscaping done with fire. I think that would be awesome.
That's what Canada does.
Those are called control burns. Go so to
can
any
you verify
farm.
That Canada does landscaping with fire?
It may happen a little.
You could just sell remember. Tickets to this. Why are you guys not selling tickets? I want a live stream.
Oh, it's still going on, dude. They're evacuating a town. It, like, one of the largest distilleries of, like, petroleum in the world is about to explode. It will be fucking amazing. I want it
are
covered
you?
In maple where, syrup.
Where is this WebM from?
I have no idea. Some Durka Durka Jihad Pound.
That's awesome. That's a lot of smoke.
A big shockwave.
It's trying to make a mushroom cloud.
Just remember, if you put the fire out, the fire wins.
But
how? No, huh? No, it doesn't.
You need to end the show.
Oh, okay. Where's the button?
Holy shit.
That's not the button. What,
smoke
the button?
Weed every day.
That's not the
every
button.
Day.
Thank you, Static.
Not sure if I'm insulted or not.
I'm done. I think this is